This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I'm interviewing Bill Nowicki, who is living his dream through podcasting. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
Let's get started by giving some background about yourself.
Okay. I grew up in a large Catholic family in New Jersey in the 60s. Five kids, crazy household, didn't have much adult supervision. My siblings really taught me a lot about life and kept me in line because my mom and dad were way too busy running around. So when I got out of high school, I really didn't have a path forward. My parents were both non-degreed, so I just kind of stumbled around and ended up moving with them to Massachusetts. And then after a year of working at Friendly's Ice Cream, I just decided to join the Navy. My dad was in the Navy, so I had a lot of, my dad was always talking up the Navy, so I thought it was a good idea. Went into the nuclear program, got through that, and then volunteered for submarines, got 6 years doing that, got out, got my electrical engineering degree, then I've been working ever since in the commercial nuclear power industry. So engineering, technical background, that kind of stuff.
Well, first off, thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you.
So what would you say podcasting means to you?
So to kind of jump forward, I've been out of the Navy for 28 years and all that stuff. And then when I took this most recent job, I'm 52 years old. There was something kind of missing in my life. I felt like I had a whole bunch of good ideas at work. And when I saw your podcast about dreaming, I guess I'm a real dreamer because I always had these ideas, you know, and I'd go to work and they would say, nope, that's not any good. No. So I got with a coach when I moved here. And it's amazing just the kinds of stuff he drew out of me that I didn't even know about myself. So I started following this path. And one of the things I kept going back to is I really want to find my voice and, you know, get with like-minded people and start doing different things. So I always listen to podcasts and I kind of tried to find one that somebody that was hosting a podcast that really kind of got through to me. So I contacted one of them and he ended up being my mentor and helped me launch my podcast called Submarine Sea Stories, which is basically getting with buddies and new people I've met talking about their life on a submarine, because I just think it's pretty interesting time in my life. Plus, when you're on a submarine, you really get to know people. I mean, really get to know them because you see them all the time. And I hadn't had that for so many years. I mean, I have friends, of course, but you don't spend 24 hours a day with them. So you don't really, really, really get to know them. And they're good, they're bad, they're great, they're not so great times. So, and when I started doing it and when I launched my podcast, it was really amazing how after just a couple weeks, I really started to get into it more than I had anticipated. I thought it was going to be just a bunch of guys, you know, talking about drinking and chasing women, but it became a lot more for me. And I really felt like I connected with some of these guys. And you know, and you know this through your podcast, is the more real you are, the more people are drawn to you and your message, and the more it takes off and kind of you can get an audience and that follows you around. So when I started doing the podcast and I was getting emails and notes from folks telling me how they really liked it and what they got out of it and how it reminded them of something, or even people that were outside the submarine service were really into it too, which was kind of surprising. And that was probably the aha moment I had. And just made me feel real good to know that, you know, this is a way I could touch people and give them a clue to what it's like to be on a submarine locked with a bunch of guys underwater.
So what would you say inspires you?
Well, there's all kinds of things. The way I kind of approach inspiration is I have to disconnect, as probably many of your listeners encounter is we are so inundated with information and TV, media, social media. So I try to disconnect. And one of the things I do for inspiration is I ride my bike, which I look back now is when I was a kid, I used to always ride my bike to places. And I kind of recaptured that now. And I have, of course, a much nicer bike than I had in the 70s and 60s. But I just ride around and I'll listen to podcasts or just listen to music. And invariably, I'll have all kinds of ideas or things will pop in my head. And a lot of them really turned out to be pretty good ideas and things that really helped me to, you know, explore something. And so now I would say my life is a lot about exploration and just taking that next step. And one of the things my podcast coach told me was just take that next step and see what happens. And, you know, that's really the key point I want to tell folks is, you know, especially people my age, they see life as I'm in this track, you know, I'm a engineer, I'm a homemaker, I'm a accountant. And what I've learned through this whole podcasting thing is, hell, I'm a podcaster now. And I don't know what it all means, but I just enjoy the journey and taking that next step and getting inspiration from different places I wouldn't have considered before. And of course, I'm meeting all new people and it's just been a whole new world open to me just by taking that one first step and see what happened.
So how did your idea for the podcast come about?
But kind of like I kind of mentioned earlier, that part of the thing I loved to do when I was on the submarine was tell stories. So we'd go out and go drinking and half the guys would get so drunk they couldn't half remember what happened. And so muster every morning at 7:30. And so we'd all gather around and inevitably the chief would be late or something. So we'd all start BSing and I would tell what happened the night before from my standpoint. And of course, we'd all laugh and get a big kick out of stuff and something would happen that was crazy. So I really enjoyed that role of just telling stories and pulling things out of people and kind of ribbing them and having a good time. So like I said earlier, that really, once I got out of the Navy, that group of guys dissipated and we all started our own lives. So I kind of lost touch with that side of me. Of course, I told stories at work and different things, but it really wasn't the same. Plus, I had lost touch with the people I was in the Navy with. So I saw the podcast as a way to find my voice, get to reconnect with the people that I served with, and then really get some additional stories that were cool. And a real quick example, friend of mine who was in my wedding is a plant manager at a plant in Minnesota. And I had been trying to get him on the podcast because he's funny. And he'd always say, no, I don't have time or I'm really busy. And it was more like a business conversation when I tried to get him on. And he finally just acquiesced and said, yeah, I'll do it. And I got him on and we started just talking and he started laughing from like 2 minutes in and we laughed for 45 minutes and all those years just kind of melted away. And he was the same guy I knew back in those days. And it was really a special thing. So now we've reconnected through that podcast. So that was a really cool thing.
Yeah. You know, reconnection through podcasting is really great. I've done it myself with a number of guests that I knew in my past, but, you know, dialed up, you know, on Facebook and said, hey, I'm doing this thing and I want to bring you on. And, it can be a very special thing. Definitely. Yeah. So how was it received by your family when you told them like, hey, I'm going to do this podcasting? And they were probably like, what's a podcast?
Right. Absolutely. And that's the funny thing. And I don't know how many folks, my age, are really going out and doing these things, because the cool thing about people in their 50s is that we have a whole bunch of people in our network. So I had hundreds of people I was sending out stuff to, but like you were saying, there's not many people even knew what a podcast was. And then people at work, I'll say, hey, I have a podcast. They, oh yeah, I'd like to listen to it. And they would say, but how do I get it? I said, well, you got, you know, they have iPhone. I said, well, you got to download the podcast app. And they said, oh, I forgot my Apple password. So I'd sit there for like 10 minutes. I'd say, forget it, man. I got to go back to work. But I kind of gave up on most of those folks. But it's funny how most people don't know what a podcast is. And it's funny, the people closest to me are the ones that never listen. They're the ones that, you know, oh, yeah, I was going to listen to them, but I got busy and I forgot, you know. It's like, but people were just surprised. And the funny thing is, I've had my mom on one of my podcasts. She's 88 years old because she's funny as anything, but she's listens to them every week. My sister figured out how to download them, and my sister lives with my mom, and they listen to it when they're getting ready to go shopping in the car and stuff. And she always gives me feedback every week about liking it. And, you know, she of course loves it. And so she's one of my biggest fans.
Yeah. I mean, soon the barrier won't be there when the iPhone when the podcast app is included on the iPhone by default. And then it'll just be like, hey, just click on that app and
right.
go right into it and make it happen. I mean, the barriers are rapidly coming down, which is
right.
good.
Which will help my demographic a lot, because there's several technically challenged people my age out there. I mean, 5-year-old kids can do it. And yeah, it's crazy.
When you were getting started, did you have trouble finding people at the beginning?
You know, that wasn't that hard because, and I'm sure you found this too, the online community is normally very supportive. And I don't know why that happens like that. But as I had said earlier, I had found this guy who has what's the Inspiring Innovation podcast, which is about entrepreneurial stuff. But he also has this whole training program that I became a beta tester for. And he invited like 30 people to that beta test to help him to go through all the modules and learn, you know, give him feedback about the videos and all that kind of stuff. So I joined that group and I kind of followed his program and launched, but I got to know the people in that group who were also launching. So by the time I launched, I already had a really strong online group of friends. And then I followed his method, which is basically send a huge email out to everybody and put the links in there and everything. And I just followed that formula and it really worked. And once you get on iTunes and new and noteworthy, then it's going to get seen by a lot of people.
Was there any other steps that you took to get started once you decided you wanted to start a podcast?
Yeah. What was interesting is it was all kind of haphazard, but I look back now, it was just serendipitous, I guess. But there's a lot of comedy podcasts and a lot of entrepreneurial podcasts and business podcasts. Marketing, those type of things, careers, self-help and diet stuff. So when I launched mine, it was a story podcast and storytelling. So I put it in performing arts, and within a week, I don't even think it was a week, I was number four, I was number one in new and noteworthy, but I was number four in performing arts. And then I got to number 10 in arts overall. So I was up there with The Moth and some other really high ranked podcasts just because there wasn't a whole bunch of folks in the performing arts area. And I didn't know beforehand. I just thought it was a good fit, but that was a really smart move on my part. So that helped me really build quickly. And they told me on the podcast group I'm on is you just got to be real. Like, you're talking to your brother or your family and people are drawn to it. And, you know, that's really not a problem for me. So it really kind of took off pretty quickly. And then once it's up there, it's pretty easy to maintain. If you keep doing the same formula, people are drawn to you and keeps going.
So were there any roadblocks that you've hit along the way?
Yeah, it's your head. My mind was the biggest roadblock I had, which was like when I first started, you know, my whole plan was I was going to put a video on social media to get a bunch of guys to sign up. And then I would just do a bunch of interviews, get them out and go for it. And I tried to tape that first video and it was terrible. I was locking up and screwing up. And I was like, man, I've never been so nervous. So I kind of kept working through it. So I didn't get discouraged by any of that, but well, I did get discouraged, but I never quit. And then the biggest key was having that online community. So I committed to folks that I was going to launch on April 1st. And for whatever reason, come hell or high water, I was going to launch. So that really forced me to say, well, if I'm going to launch, I got to get all these interviews. And I'm going to get all these interviews, then I got to get started. So it was became a real mission to get launched on April 1st. And the great thing about setting that date was that really motivated me to, oh, crap, I promised all these people I, of course, never met. But I said, I got to get moving, you know. So I was running around and staying up late. And so I didn't have a bunch of time to reflect on what I was doing, which is probably good. And then when I got messed up on my website, you know, I had all kinds of help from those guys to help me, you know, with dumb things I messed up. And sure enough, I got it on iTunes April 1st. I don't know how, but it all worked out. And then the rest kind of took care of itself. But the roadblocks were, there was a lot of perceived roadblocks, but it's more like, I just don't know what I'm doing. It's like learning anything new. And then once you learn it, it's like, hell, why did I freak out about this? So it's just going, keeping moving, you know, take that next step. Like they told me in the podcast incubator group.
Has there been any disappointments with your podcast so far?
No, I would say not. The thing I'll tell you though, is it's more realigning your brain, I would say, because at work, everything's linear. You show up at the same time, you kind of leave at the same time, you're doing the similar activities, you see the same people, and it doesn't vary a whole bunch. I mean, you get busy, but you're less busy some days. But in this online world, you put something out there and it's like, oh my gosh, this is a hit. You know, oh, I didn't think about that, you know. And then you kind of get your head around, okay, now there's 1,000 people listening to what the hell I'm saying. And then you get used to that for a little while. And it's like, then that becomes the new normal. And then you're like, why is there only 800 people listening? And you kind of mess with your own brain, but it's just nonlinear then. So you're putting content out and you're hoping it's catching. But one day I'll be like, I don't know, man, I didn't have a good day doing this podcasting. Maybe I don't want to do it. And then the next day somebody will send me a note or say, man, I love your podcast. And it's like, man, I want to do this forever. So it's one of those things that from a disappointment standpoint, it's more of trying to get my head around what it feels like to be more entrepreneurial, because I'd never been in that position before. And I tell you, it's so much fun. I get so excited talking about it. My neighbor said I'm like an evangelist for podcasting, and I don't know what it is. I just love doing it now. And it's so much more than just, like I said earlier, BSing with guys. I had a guy on the podcast that grew up in an alcoholic family, and he had put on one of the Facebook groups, one of the closed ones, about one guy was struggling just with something, and he goes, hey man, I know what you mean. I grew up in an alcoholic family and I felt safe when I was on the submarine. I was like, you felt safe on the submarine? I mean, I never would have considered that. So it's opened up my life to all these possibilities and things I learn. And I just, it's such an adventure to me that the disappointments are minor. You know, it's just been a fun ride.
So if you had the opportunity to be mentored by one person, living or dead, who would that person be?
You know, I love storytelling. So I'm trying to think of who I love Garrison Keillor. I just love the way he tells the story in a way that you can see it so vividly in your mind that it kind of transports you to someplace else. And I would really love to get to that point in my podcast to be able to transport people to, okay, we're test depth on a submarine in the North Atlantic, and this is what it's like, this is what it feels like. And I just love that storytelling part. So I guess Garrison Keillor is the answer.
So could you share a favorite memory?
when I joined the Navy, my dad was so happy, you know, but he's one of these, he was World War II, Iwo Jima. He was in the Seabees. He helped build the aircraft landing strip there. And he always talked up to the Navy, like I said, but he, when I joined, he was really excited about it, you know, of course, but he got, he came to the launching of the submarine, which was the USS Minneapolis St. Paul in 1982. And it was in Groton, Connecticut. So he drove down with my mom and I can't remember, but I think my sister might have come too. Of course, I'm standing on the sub when it goes, they pull this one piece of wood. It's pretty cool. They knock, they have this like explosive charge that blows this one little piece of wood off. And then the whole huge ship just goes into the Thames River in Connecticut. And we're in our dress blues or whatever. And you know, we slid down the waves and everybody's cheering and they're playing Anchors Away and the band is there and everything. Well, I got off the boat. My dad's just, tears were rolling down his eyes. He's like, man, this is really cool, you know. But that was one, all those years I spent in the Navy, I knew at that point he was proud of what I had done and what I had accomplished. And I gave that gift to him, but... I didn't really want to spend the rest of the, I had another 4 years left and I couldn't wait to get out. But I knew at that point I had really made his day there and probably his year. But and he always told me how he didn't want to get out, but he had to. But so I think, you know, that really made him proud and I was happy to do that for him. But that was a real special moment for me.
So what do your dreams for the future look like?
Well, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing, which is just taking one step at a time. But I'm looking at starting a business. I already have a business, but I haven't made a cent. But trying to start a business to help coach people like veterans that are transitioning from the military to civilian life and helping them to just understand what it's like to work in a professional world and maybe give them some tips and tricks and help them to transition to civilian life. So that's one thing I'm going to do and look for sponsors and kind of help coach these guys one-on-one through that transitional phase. So I'm going to probably leverage the guys that I interviewed in a podcast. They're just terrific guys and maybe they can help with this thing. But it's just in the early phases of, plus I'm going to the podcast movement conference next month in Dallas. And I have the opportunity to introduce a few of the speakers and I, you know, just look to help out where I can on that conference, but just get to meet people. And to be honest with you, meeting the people that do this kind of stuff has just been awesome. The people are so giving and I'm learning a lot. And you know, when you say, hey, I have this idea, most of the time, like, that's a great idea. It really helps you to keep moving in a certain direction. And it's very empowering. So I feel like, you know, I just am, in, like I said earlier, enjoying the adventure of it and don't really have any aspirations to be the greatest whatever, but just keep kind of going down the road and see where it ends up.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
I love the idea of your podcast. I don't usually contact podcasters, but I love the whole idea of dreaming. I think we lose touch when we're kids with those things you used to do, like bicycling and just walking and, you know, hiking in the woods or whatever it is that you used to do as a kid, read. And we get in this complicated life and we think that's the only way. You know, life has to be a certain way. And I'll tell you, from this whole adventure, that's not what I've found. I found that you can easily create another life where you just, you know, if I want to have you on the podcast, I can. I don't care what anybody says. But, you know, it's one of these things where you're totally free to make decisions and really cool things can happen if you're open to them. And I would suggest that the folks that listen to your podcast, they kind of follow those little signs or little things that you're curious about or excited about and just see where it ends up. And you'd be surprised a lot of time.
Well, thank you for all that. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to plug your website and your podcast.
Yeah, great. It's nowikimedia.com. And The Submarine Sea Stories it's on iTunes and Stitcher, and you can get it through the website if you can't figure out how to do it. But I'd love for folks to check it out and let me know what you think, because I'm trying to get not just submariners, but regular people listen to it just and get their feedback. But I'd love for them to listen in.
Well, I'll have them in the show notes at howtodream.co so everybody can check them out. Well, thank you very much, Bill, for coming on the show. I really appreciate you taking the time, and it was great having you on.
Right. It was great talking with you, and I hope to keep in contact with you, and all the success in the world to you.
Well, thank you. You too. I hope it continues to be as big as it has been for you, and I hope you have a great time down at the podcast movement. Unfortunately, I will not be there.
Next year,
yes.
All right. Great. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/Dreamers Podcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.